But I'm talking about the true heart of worship. I'm talking about worshiping God when nobody else is around, when it's just you and it's just a song and no one else can see you and it's just you and God. In that moment, those emotions that you're feeling with your Savior, with your God, that emotional connection, I feel is vital. You know, if I am just like, just talking to him as a robot would, you know, emotionless and whatever, and there's no connection between me and him, that's really not much of a relationship that I want to have anything to do with. And quite frankly, I wouldn't think that he would want anything to do with a relationship like that either. Worship is kind of like a almost a priest in a way, or a conduit in a way, that brings two people together, right? Like, you know, you're taking the hand of God and you're taking the hand of man and you're bringing people together. That's what worship music does.
Welcome to the NRT Now podcast. This is your host, Jake. And if you're new here, I just want to say welcome. And if you've been with us for a minute, just want to say welcome back. I don't know if you're like me, but man, I'd love a good changeup. I love it when there's something that you expect and something completely different happens. Well, I mean, when it's a good thing, right? But when I first heard Honor and Glory, I loved their cover of Battle Belongs. And it took me a minute to realize that Honor and Glory is basically Disciple, but the worship version. And I've been to so many Disciple shows over the past however many years, and just what I expect from a hard rock band and from what I've seen of them, to just seeing them just shake it all off and just worship God is just so amazing. I'm excited for you to be able to hear Kevin talk about this and why they did this. So enough of this, and let's get to my conversation with Kevin Young. We're here with Kevin Young of Honor and Glory. If you recognize the name, the face, the voice, there's probably a really good reason for that. Kevin, you've been a Disciple, started in 92, right?
Yes. I was 3 years old.
In elementary school.
Yes.
Electric guitar in hand.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Yes. December of 92. I was in high school.
For all of us Disciple fans, we know you, Kevin, here pretty well, and some of the guys that are in Honor and Glory. So why Honor and Glory? Why going from Disciple to Honor and Glory and starting up this project?
Well, it was a definite concentrated move on our part to start a new band. We wanted to do a worship project. I'll be honest, you know, we felt pressure to keep the name Disciple in doing a worship project. We really felt strongly against that. Disciple has been a very special thing to all of us, and we've seen God, you know, really use it from the beginning. It's a very evangelism focused ministry, and it uses primarily Christian rock music for that evangelism. And we really didn't want to mess with that formula. You know, we've seen that over the years just be a very effective tool, and we just really didn't want to mess with that. We've also seen, you know, a lot of our friends who are in rock bands, very few of them go and do a worship thing and then come back from it. It seems like, you know, let's say you start doing a worship thing, they might be very successful at it and then feel pressure to continue to do that. And then their rock thing kind of goes away, or, you know, vice versa. We just were like, you know, if we're going to do something new and something different, then let's do something new and something different and call it two different things. Plus, you know, radio stations, just with the name Disciple, it's a worship project, it's something new, it's something different, might give them the opportunity to actually feel like they could play it, because they would never play a Disciple song, you know, most of them. So there was a little bit of that, but that had almost very little to do with it. That's the short version.
The last time I caught up with you was in 2018, which,
yeah,
as I'm thinking about it and as I'm remembering that interview, it seems like it was yesterday. It seems like it was just a couple minutes ago, but all of a sudden it's absolutely 3 years ago now.
Yeah, forever ago.
The one thing I do remember about that one, I was trying to be a little bit of a dork, but you were on tour with Cutlass at the time.
Yeah.
And from, I want to say it was like 2008, 2010, I still had a VIP badge from another Cutlass and Disciple tour.
Right.
And I came in and was like, hey, is this still valid?
Absolutely. Yeah, that pass is, it has perpetuity, so it'll get you backstage no matter what.
I didn't realize that when I bought it way back in the day, but now I'm really glad that it happened, because
I don't know if anything I'm saying is actually true or not, but just say that I said it and we'll see how far it gets you.
it's recorded now, so it's I got the proof.
It's gotta be true.
That was such a good show, and you're talking about the disciple and the ministry legacy. I think probably one of the things that will last forever for me is Dear X. That is the song that will always be one of my favorites from Here to Kingdom Come.
Thank you so much. You're talking about
releasing some of the Disciple and the Disciple projects. You were just on, I forget which album it is, but it was just releasing. You were just starting in the production process of it.
The last time we talked would have been Love Letter Kill Shot.
That's right. You still hadn't quite figured out the name at that point.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
I'm trying to remember what secrets. I'm browsing back through it here. You let out a little secret in that interview.
I have a way of doing that. I always get myself in trouble.
I think it was that you were going with Tooth and Nail. I think that was the first time that you had mentioned that you guys were signing back with Tooth and Nail.
Oh, wow. Album. Yeah. Well, there you go. We actually have never worked with them before. This was our first album with them, and it's been wonderful. And we did Honor and Glory with them as well. There's always these, those are supposed to be secrets. And I just live in the world where we're like, why? Just tell everybody. It doesn't matter. We're not that special that we got to hide every little thing we're doing.
You know, as you've gone on the road with different artists like Cutlass and some of these festivals that you see and all that.
Yeah.
How much has that kind of influenced what you're doing with Honor and Glory and these worship albums? And, you know, what do you guys see as a band when guys like those run out the worship sets?
Yeah, well, there's not really, I don't know of anybody doing worship sets except for Cutlass, and they're not really even playing that much anymore. For us, it just simply came about. We were sitting on the back of the bus one day. I said, hey, man, what'd you do this weekend? He said, oh, I played guitar for my church. I was like, oh, okay, I sang at my church. And Joe was like, well, I play drums in my church. And I was like, wait a second. So you're telling me that every single person on the back of this bus played music for free? Like, did not get paid. Professional musicians played music for free and worshiped God just because you love God and love to worship Him. I said, that's what you're telling me right now. They were like, yeah. I was like, all right, why are we not doing this together? We should definitely do this together. We're all doing it whenever we're at home. Let's see if we can write some cool music together. Because one thing that I thought would be very interesting is, in worship music, you know, that seems to all kind of be gearing and going towards one destination. And I felt like we could maybe write some worship music that sounded more like how we would do it. And it would come across very differently. At least that's our hope. And we think it does. That was kind of interesting to me, to kind of create something that we felt there wasn't really anything like it being created right now. And being a worshiper, I was a worship leader for 9 years, and just loving worship music, loving to just worship God in general. I was very excited about the project and writing songs for it, recording it.
Well, it sounds like that's a little bit more productive use of your time on the back of the bus than remembering this interview. One of the things that you guys were talking about were the tour pranks that are the bus pranks that happen all the time. It seems like you always have to be on guard and there's always some sort of shenanigans happening.
Well, we're best friends, and we really do love each other. So there's always fun being had. There's no question.
Between watching, it was Joey that was with you in that interview.
Yeah.
And between watching the two of you guys just rehash some of the tour pranks, it was fun listening to you guys share some of those stories.
They're terrifying, really. I actually don't consider myself as much of a prankster because I'm usually the one that gets it, and I don't want it. If I start pranking somebody, I'll always get it back. And it becomes a never-ending cycle because I can't be outdone. So then I have to get them back. So I try to stay away from it as much as I can. But, you know, like I said, we're best friends. So there's always something going on.
You guys were talking about winter polar bear club experience. Everybody was on the side of the pool like, hey, we're all going to jump in. And yeah. Who was it? Oh, Michael was the only one that jumped in.
Yeah, we all said we're going to do it together. Yeah, man, that's not very nice of us, is it?
Maybe, maybe not, but it's hilarious.
It's always something, man. Somebody giving somebody a birthday cake and being like, man, that cake smells funny. Like, really? And like, yeah, dude, smell it. And of course, they lean over to smell it and just get the back of their head slammed into that cake. That's life on the road, my friend. It's so funny that you are remembering all of this stuff. This is just normal every day. I don't even like file that away as worth remembering. That's just life.
for more of a music consumer, I think a lot of times we have an image of what touring life is like and what being on the road is like. And for me, it's fun to see that. Number one, because I'm all in for a good prank, and that's just like listening to you and Joey just have fun back and forth, you know, remembering some of these tour pranks is just always fun. I don't care who you are, that kind of stuff is fun.
Well, if you really want an inside peek of like what it's like to be on the tour with us, there's not very many pranks, to be honest with you, but it's, we really do enjoy each other. So we love hanging out. There's a lot of laughter, just a lot of it. I mean, Josiah has the loudest laugh of any human being I've ever met in my entire life. If I go to the back lounge or to my bunk and lay down and try and get some sleep, I will hear Josiah's laugh probably 4 to 5 times before I actually fall asleep. That's what life on the bus is like. There's just a lot of laughter, lots of video games, lots of watching stuff together, looking for something to laugh at together, lots of jokes. I mean, just constantly bantering and inside jokes galore. If you can just imagine, just every fourth sentence is some kind of inside joke that's getting a laugh. That's what it's like, man. We really have a good time. And then, you know, they're all so good at what they do. Such amazing musicians. You know, people say, hey, when do you guys practice? It's like, we're getting ready to go practice right now, as soon as the show starts, you know. I mean, our actual little literal practice is us sitting together in the front lounge, kind of mouthing our parts together. We'll just kind of run through the parts because they're so good. They're so professional that they just need to think about what they're going to play. And then they just go play it. They don't actually have to sit down and practice playing it. You know, they're that good. It's a fun time, man. We have a really great job, and we see people get saved every single show. Someone accepts Christ. We don't even wonder if that's going to happen. We know that we just play a very small part in it. Just God shows up and uses the music and the ministry of disciples. So we don't really even question. We don't even really ask him to do it. We just expect it to happen. Don't even really plan it out. You know, we just have seen it happen so many times, whether there's 30 people in the crowd or whether there's 1,000 people in the crowd. We know somehow God brings somebody in those doors that does not know him and that's going to leave knowing him. We're real fortunate to be able to do it.
It's pretty cool to just be able to go somewhere and expect that God's going to move and just know that that's going to happen.
Well, we were just saying it last week. You know, we played a show in a really small town of Texas. It had a very, very low turnout, maybe 40, 50 people there. And, you know, in those situations, you know, I'm very tempted to just assume that everybody there is a Christian and just out of really pride, just not wanting to ask the question because, you know, you feel like you're the one that's leading people to Jesus. And it's not me. It's not you. It's not the person giving the invitation. But at the same time, when you're in that moment, you still have those temptations where you feel like it's you and you feel like it's up to you and you feel like you're the one doing the work. And it's just not true. And I felt that temptation to just kind of bypass the part of the concert where we give, you know, an invitation to someone who doesn't know Jesus. And I felt that temptation to just play the next song. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And there were three people in that small crowd, three people that prayed to receive Christ that night. And I just looked at Josiah and I was like, this is a cool reminder. We just got to get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Don't look at the numbers. Don't look at how many people are there. Don't look at whatever we could possibly think of to look at. Just get out of the way and let God do his thing.
So crazy. You touched a little bit about the families and just how close you guys are. One of the other things that I really remember was as you were developing that Love Letter Kill Shot, the impact that everybody has in the process. It's not Kevin, the writer. It's not, you know, here's my production team behind and you guys are my road crew. It's like everybody has a piece and everybody has that input into the album. And I imagine that's carried over into Honor and Glory.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my role in the band just keeps getting smaller and smaller. And that's because of the talent of just the people that are around us. You know, I'd say there was a time where I was writing every lyric that Disciple was ever showing up on an album. That's definitely not the case now. With Honor and Glory, it was, you know, a lot of the motivation behind it did come from me. And so with that album in particular, I think there was only one song that I didn't write on. So I did have a big hand in the Honor and Glory project. But with Disciple, my role diminishes, you know, every time, you know, and that's because the guys around me are so talented at writing lyrics, at writing music, at producing, at, you know, all of it. So there's no need for me to have to work as hard. The product is solid.
Talking about Josiah a bit, he's done so much in that rock space. It's just absolutely incredible what he's been able to accomplish.
Yeah.
I imagine he's a big part of what you're talking about, just the talented musicians.
Yes. Yeah, he actually produced 8 of the songs on the new Honor and Glory album. Just knocked it out of the park. It's one of the best sounding projects we've ever done as far as production quality, song quality. We're really, really proud of it. We think it sounds amazing. And like I said, you know, he produced 8 of the 10 songs on there. And so he's been in the band since 2013. He's one of those guys that just gets better at everything he does. We were sitting talking about it the other day, you know, just demos he was writing in 2013. And then look at the demos he was writing in 2015 and then 2018 and 2020 and now 2022. His development and his growth, he works really hard at it and works a lot. I say that's with anything and anybody, you know, anything that you work really hard at, you're going to get better. That's definitely his story for sure.
Just to kind of speak to more of his versatility and kind of the influence that he's had in all this, I can't remember the name of it right now, but he produced a pop punk album as a side project.
It was called The All Right Years.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, and pop punk had been kind of dead for a few years. You hadn't really heard much in the pop punk space and all that, which I'm not sure if it's a good thing for me to admit that I'm a little bit of a pop punker fan kid or whatever, but
that's up to you whether that's a good thing or not.
You know, I grew up during the Good Charlotte and the Newfound Glory and some of those mainstream bands when they were huge. And, you know, having that, the All Right Years come back out was like super awesome.
Dane Allen was the other guy that was in on that project. And so that's a great segue because Honor and Glory is made up of all the guys in Disciple plus Dane Allen, who is a great friend of ours who, you know, did the All Right Years with Josiah. He's also the lead singer of the band Loyals. And then he's also in Honor and Glory with us. And Dane is a phenomenal lead singer. He sings way better, you know, than I'll ever be able to. And I love surrounding myself with talented guys like that, partially because, you know, I'm a child and a product of the 80s. And I loved one of the things that a lot of 80s songs had, where they would always have these high harmony parts that I could never sing that high, you know. But so whenever I found someone who could, I was like, I always wanted them near me and close to me. And so Dane, you know, is just this phenomenal singer. I'll go as far as say he's the best singer in Nashville. And he's just a close friend of ours, and we love him. And he travels with us and works with Disciple even, you know, when he's not doing anything. So we were like, you know, dude, join this band with us.
That's so cool.
And he works at his church and leads worship every once in a while and is just a super talented guy. So when you listen to the Honor and Glory album, all those high notes, they're all Dane Allen. He's just a phenomenal talent. We're so happy to have him.
I want to tug a little bit on that thread of just this album sounding different than a lot of what you think of with worship. Yeah. And I think we hear worship music, and I think most people, they start thinking about Hillsong or Elevation, which are all amazing worship. But I also love like the Seventh Day Slumber versions of like From the Inside Out and some of these more hard rockish versions of these songs that have come out. And I just love that Honor and Glory has really brought out that rock worship sound. The songs still worship just as hard as, and the lyrics still worship just as hard as any of the rest of the worship songs. But I just love that hard edge to the worship. And I love that it's just such a unique sound for what we think of worship. And that you saying that that was a goal of yours, I think that's something that's really been accomplished and really been hit with this album. It's just an incredible, incredible worship album. I don't know if it's in any workout mixes or anything like that, but I mean, it's crazy to think like a worship song in a workout mix, it can like coexist.
I think that's kind of a hallmark or fingerprint of everything that we do. You know, we love energy, and I've always said the music that I want to create, I want it to have energy and emotion. I want someone to be able to listen to whatever we do and feel something. And I think that music has the power to do that. Christian, non-Christian, you know, creative, it's art. Music has the ability to tap into your soul. You can read a book and possibly feel something, but you can say those exact words to music and it has the ability to reach in your soul and grab those emotions much quicker and just gives you access to them. Almost, you know, someone who's like really just a hard personality, emotionless or whatever. Music has a way of breaking down those barriers. And I remember seeing Celine Dion play live and she was performing, you know, My Heart Will Go On, which is what the Titanic song. And I found myself crying in the middle of the song. It was music doing what only music can do. Now you combine the power of this beautiful thing that God's created, music, you combine it with the gospel and you have an ultimately powerful thing happening. We've always said that we wanted to have music that has those things, that has energy and emotion. So if you're listening to, like you said, the song Dear X, there is an energy there, but it also evokes emotions. You feel something as you're listening to it. And I feel like in worship, it is absolutely vital that we have an emotional connection with God when worshiping him. Some people are afraid of that word emotion, you know, and they look at it as almost disingenuous or whatever. When you talk about worship, you know, they're just afraid of it because of people manipulating people's emotions and abusing them or whatever. But I'm talking about the true heart of worship. I'm talking about worshiping God when nobody else is around, when it's just you and it's just a song and no one else can see you and it's just you and God. In that moment, those emotions that you're feeling with your Savior, with your God, that emotional connection, I feel is vital. You know, if I am just like, just talking to him as a robot would, you know, emotionless and whatever, and there's no connection between me and him, that's really not much of a relationship that I want to have anything to do with. And quite frankly, I wouldn't think that he would want anything to do with a relationship like that either. Worship is kind of like a almost a priest in a way, or a conduit in a way, that brings two people together, right? Like, you know, you're taking the hand of God and you're taking the hand of man and you're bringing people together. That's what worship music does. If someone puts, you know, a song on, it's allowing us to just to take them to God and have an emotional a connection with him where they can talk to him and worship him the way that they want to. You know, one thing that I thought was really cool, and I know I'm rambling, as we do a song called Jesus, We Love You. You know, I was like, you know, at the end of this song, I just want to have some music and just play instead of putting the words in their mouth of what we want to say, you know, just let them worship God the way that we want to. And it was so interesting because the first or second time we ever performed out and we played that song, this lady walked up to me. She said, I just want to thank you so much for that musical section. She said, because, you know, we were worshiping, we were singing these songs. She said, and then in that section, I got to actually say the things to God that I wanted to say. And I just really wanted to say thank you. And I was like, you know, that's what it's about. That's what we're trying to do. Disciple is a very different thing than honor and glory. Disciple is very evangelism focused, very relationship with God focused. You know, our songs are about what anybody's going to be going through. We really want to connect people with God on a relational level. But honor and glory is very different in that we're wanting to connect people to God on a worship level. And it's not trying to convince anybody of anything. It's not trying to talk to anybody about what they're going through. It's literally God focused. You know, every song is about him. We're just really excited. And the last thing I'll say, again, like I said, I'm rambling, but we've been doing Disciple for so many years. Whenever we would play these honor and glory shows, the guys would step off stage and it would be extremely refreshing to just play worship songs that were just lifting up the Lord. And we walk off the stage and Joey, he just looked at me, he go, I can't believe that was so good. We didn't do anything. We just played the songs. We're not performing. We're not jumping around. There's no lights. There's no smoke. There's no bells and whistles and tricks and gimmicks. It's just standing there worshiping God on stage. And we're walking off stage and he's just like, I can't believe how good that was. And well, the reason it was so good was because that's what worship does. It just cleans out all the dirt of our heart and our soul and just allows us to have connection with God on a deep level. And so it's really special, man.
That's so good. And as we start wrapping up the episode, I think you half touched on the question that I was going to ask is Honor and Glory doing their own shows? And are you guys touring with that, or is that just something you guys do here and there? What does that look like on the road?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, one of the reasons why we did it was so that we could hopefully play more while we are out. You know, if we're playing Disciple on Friday and Saturday and we're not doing anything on Thursday, that we would have another opportunity to do something. And then with festivals, it seems like that's been a very big thing, that someone would want Disciple to play on Friday and maybe Honor and Glory to play on Saturday. It has been two separate things. We are trying to combine them a little bit right now. In our current Disciple set, we are playing one Honor and Glory song. I'm sure we'll continue to do some of that, a little bit of previewing each band in the other thing, but we are doing Honor and Glory concerts. You know, they are standing alone, and we are trying to create, you know, this brand that is different and that is something completely separate from Disciple. The delivery is way different. You know, you go to a Disciple show, what you will see, you will see energy. You will see blood, sweat, and tears, you know.
Full backflips, maybe, you know.
You're going to see a lot of rock and roll at a Disciple show. We're not playing around. It is a contact sport, and my body hurts from it. I am paying the ultimate price in a very broken down body because we rock hard. But Honor and Glory is not that. It is a rock band worshiping, but we're not trying to impress anybody. We're not trying to put on a show. We want people, the moment they walk through the door, we're going to be worshiping God from note one to the last note. And it's just a completely different experience. I'm hoping that people will leave those shows and all the positive things they could say about it would have nothing to do with the band. That's my hope and my desire.
Well, Kevin, we just appreciate the time here. And man, this album, I'm definitely here for it.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you like it.